Support for Impact Cincinnati comes from Murray and Robin Sinclair.
Good morning. This is Impact Cincinnati on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. Both the University of Cincinnati and Northern Kentucky University have new presidents this year. They join me this morning to talk about their universities and higher education. Joining me are UC President Santa Ono and NKU President Jeffrey Mearns. We'd like to hear from you, too. You can email your questions and your comments to impact@wvxu.org, or better yet, post them on our Facebook page. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Marianne.
Good morning, Marianne.
Glad to have you here. I think a really good place to start, since you both are so very new to the positions, is to tell us a little bit about, since you've been president, what you've seen at the university, what's good, and what you'd like to change. Well, President Mearns, you want to start?
Sure. Well, I've been at the university now since August 1st, and I spent a good bit of time over the past fall getting to know the programs and the people at NKU. I had 24 sessions on campus, open forums with faculty, staff, and students, where they had an opportunity to tell me what they were proud of at NKU and the challenges that we're facing. So it was a very good learning process for me, and I'm giving a presentation tomorrow to the university community to share with them what I learned.
Very good. President Ono?
In my case, as you know, I've been at UC since the summer of 2010. So it's I've been at UC for over 2.5 years. I served as provost for 2 years, and there was a sudden change with the resignation of President Gregory Williams. But for me, I pretty much know what's happening in terms of our strategic plan and know all the players. So it's been pretty seamless, the transition to me as the president.
And you keep contact with your students through Twitter. You're famous for your Twitter feed.
I do tweet, and I also have a Facebook page. But I also do interact with people in person as well.
And President Mearns, I hear you're getting Twitter soon. Is that right?
Well, that may be. I've been approached by the students that might be a better way for me, or another way for me to communicate with them regularly.
We should say you also can tweet us questions, and it's a 91.7 WVXU if you want to send a question via Twitter this morning. So what do you think some of the greatest concerns in higher education are right now, not only at your specific universities, but for universities in general?
I'd say that when university presidents get together, for example, in the Association of Public and Land-Grant Universities, what we talk about really is the sustainability of the whole higher education enterprise. As you know, there are a lot of pressures on universities right now, those that are state universities. Many of the state economies are stressed at this point, and there have been multiple years of cuts in state support of higher education. So that revenue stream is impacted. With the economic downturn, there's been a problem in terms of fundraising and philanthropic giving from both high net worth individuals, alumni, and foundations. And there is a concern about higher education being too expensive for the average student, and a possible decrease in financial aid for them. So the financial model, the business model, the sustainability of higher education really is, I think, front and center with most university presidents.
I would agree with Santa. I think it really boils down to two real stresses or challenges. One is the funding, and we're all state universities are facing constraints in funding from their legislature and from their government. We understand why that's happening. It's not really a policy choice. It's just a fiscal reality. On the flip side of that, we know that our students and their families are facing their own personal financial constraints, and so we need to be very mindful of the expenses and the costs. And then, as Santa was suggesting, with these emerging technologies that are disrupting traditional methods of higher education and the models by which we deliver that education. I think we're all well positioned and well prepared to adjust to those changes, but it certainly is a dynamic and challenging environment.
What are you both doing right now in the short time that you've been president? Is there any action that you've taken right away that you think are some major changes you're on the move with?
Well, as I said, I've been provost of UC, so I partnered with Gregory Williams, the 27th president of UC, and we have an active strategic plan, academic master plan, that we're already investing in the institution. We're investing in faculty recruitment and commercialization, in graduate education, in infrastructure improvements to make our classroom state-of-the-art. So that is an ongoing process that will continue between now and our bicentennial in 2019.
President Mearns, I don't want you to give up your information that you're all going to be,
okay.
All of what's coming out tomorrow. Is that what you're saying? You don't want to give us any hints
well,
right now?
No, I'm happy to share with you where we're going and people at the university. We had a board meeting yesterday, so a little of this information was shared. We're about to embark on a strategic planning process, and I'm going to give a presentation about that process. And front and center in that process will be those challenges that we discussed just a moment ago. And we will be developing a response to those changes. As one thing that I'd just like to highlight, and I think it's good to be with Santa so we can talk about this today. I think one of the changes that higher education needs to adapt to is the expectation that we'll do more to collaborate with one another. And I'm pleased to say that Santa and I have had a number of conversations, and he is graciously receptive and shares my view about that, the value of collaboration, the value that it will bring to the students that are enrolled at the institution, as well as the communities that we serve.
I think that's incredibly important. You know, Cincinnati as a region, Northern Kentucky, the more the universities can partner to make this a destination for college students around the country and, in fact, globally, the better it is for the entire region.
Talk a little bit about how you might do that. What are some ways that the two universities, both state universities, one very much younger than the other, how are you different? How can you work together, and what can you bring to the table?
Well, I'll give you an example. I visited NKU with a number of deans and other administrators, I think just several months ago, and I was blown away by their informatics center. It really is, in many ways, state-of-the-art nationally. But one example of how we can work together is that we have considerable strengths in bioinformatics and health informatics, and they have other strengths that if we were to work together and collaborate in terms of curricula or faculty members teaching on each other's campuses, that we can bring to the students on both campuses a much richer, much broader curriculum offering than being standalone institutions. So there's a lot. That's only one example of many that we could collaborate on.
There is reciprocity right now, right? So the state, the students in this area can go to either school for the state rate. Is that right?
It's not quite the state rate, but it is less than the traditional out-of-state rate. And what Santa suggests is exactly right. I mean, when we talk about changes in higher education, both of our institutions will continue to be comprehensive universities with a wide variety of offerings, but we don't have the capacity to have distinctive programs in all of those areas. So what we want to do is to try to explore ways in which the programs of distinction at UC can provide opportunities for our students, and the programs of distinction at NKU can complement those programs of distinction. Santa mentioned informatics. I come from a law background and was dean of the law school at Cleveland State University. UC and NKU both have law schools. We know that this is a very dynamic and challenging environment for law schools. I'm hopeful that in that program we can have our deans work with each other to see how as a result of these changes, we can actually see them as an opportunity to work together to provide extraordinary, excellent legal education opportunities for our students. And as Santa suggested, there are many other opportunities within our numerous programs.
Including athletics. NKU has a very strong program, and we do compete against each other. Maybe I shouldn't use the word compete. We play against each other. And Jeff and I are even talking about administrators playing basketball against each other, or volleyball. Who knows?
Oh, I'm ready for that.
That's right. First, I have to scout out Santa to see how good he is at basketball, because if he's really good, then maybe we'll do softball instead.
Well, you're a runner, right? So you guys can, have a race or something.
Right.
You bring up athletics, and a lot of folks have sent in questions, and I'm going to try to boil these questions all together into sort of one for each of you, because there are a lot of concerns. This basically comes from Gary, and it's an NKU question. I'll ask that together with the other question. And basically, he's asking President Mearns if you would explain, or he uses the word justify, how the money that's being spent on athletics is being returned to Kentucky taxpayers, considering the graduation rates aren't as competitive as they could be. And Claire wants to know, President Ono, is it possibly a financial mistake to spend millions on Nippert chasing the big football game instead of spending the money on scholarships for scholars? How do you defend the money spent on athletics?
Well, we started this transition to Division I athletics before I arrived, and undoubtedly this transition will require us to make an additional investment in athletics. But we see that investment generating returns in a variety of ways, not simply the reputation or prestige of the institution, although that's certainly part of it. But let me just give you one small fact. We went to Division I this fall. Presently, in terms of our applications for enrollment for fall 2013, we're up 45% in terms of our applications this point in time in January of 2013 compared to a year ago. Now, I don't have evidence to suggest there's a direct causal connection, but that's the ways in which it can return. We have a greater prominence and presence not just here in the region, but across the country. Just within the last month or 6 week alone, we've played men's basketball on 3 national television platforms. And so it will bring attention and interest in the university in ways that that our academic programs can't do on their own.
President Odom?
Certainly at UC, there's been tremendous attention that has been placed on the university because of our success in both football and basketball, in fact, the Olympic sports as well. My response to that comment is it's actually the opposite. It's the converse, that an investment in Nippert Stadium, with football being really the key driver of revenues from television contracts and also one of our profit-making sports along with basketball, that investment in our business modeling will make the athletic program more self-sufficient, which will actually generate in not too many years more funds for scholarships. So if you have a stadium that's configured to actually generate twice as much revenue, then we expect that the sports programs will not be actually relying upon the university budget, but return money to the university budget. So that's the thinking.
This is Impact Cincinnati on 91.7 WVXU. Talking this morning with the president of the University of Cincinnati, Santa Ono, and Northern Kentucky University President Jeffrey Mearns. If you have a question or a comment, we'd like to hear from you. You can email impact@wvxu.org or post it on our Facebook page.
Support comes from the European American Chamber of Commerce hosting the Transatlantic Economic Outlook Summit on January 25th at the Met Center. You can find out what's behind the headlines on the European debt crisis and how it affects the U.S. economy and the tri-state companies by UBS chief global economists and local experts. Details and registration at europe-cincinnati.com. Support comes from Cincinnati Magazine. After asking more than 5,000 area physicians who they would turn to for medical care, the January issue features a list of 750 top doctors in 43 specialties as chosen by their peers. The top doctors list is also available at cincinnatimagazine.com to Cincinnati Magazine Insiders. The January edition is on newsstands now.
Support comes from Zinn's Plumbing, offering full-service plumbing, including installation, repair, and maintenance, plus water purification and softening systems. Zinn's Plumbing features pipe replacement without digging trenches in the yard. Online at zinnsplumbing.com or 513-681-2501. Zinn's Plumbing makes house calls.
This is Impact Cincinnati on 91.7 WVXU. My guest today, UC President Santa Ono and NKU President Jeffrey Mearns. If you have a question or a comment, we'd love to hear from you. Email it to impact@wvxu.org or post it on our Facebook page, 91.7 WVXU. This question comes from Michael to President Ono. He says the joke throughout the city is that UC stands for under construction. Will there be a time when you no longer are dodging construction areas around the campus?
I actually don't think it's a joke. I think it's actually something, a point of pride. The transformation of the campus that has occurred, if you talk to students, for alumni who were students 10, 20 years ago, and they come back, they're blown away by how beautiful the university is. And we know from canvassing prospective students and students that have chosen UC, that is the main attraction to the university. Applications are through the roof. So we really think that it has a positive impact on our image and our ability to recruit faculty and students. We are renovating residence halls, some that need there's deferred maintenance, and we will continue to renovate our stadium, our campus. Our stadium as well, obviously.
One of the things that's also true at NKU, and many people I know that I worked there for 20 years, In the time that I started there and when I left, the amount of growth and construction was the same there. Do you have a lot going on right now, too?
We don't have a whole lot going on, but I think you're going to see a couple of projects underway. We will do a substantial renovation of our student recreation center. We also intend to look towards building a health innovation center for our nursing and our other allied health programs. That's probably a couple years away. And then also I anticipate that we will, with the improvement in the economy, look for ways to develop the property that we have on Route 27 there, right near the intersection of 275 and 471.
Any idea what you want to do with that yet?
Well, no, we're gonna actually open that up for public interest. We're going to provide the land for development opportunities that will complement what we're doing directly on campus.
President Arnone, this question comes from Stuart. He says, what do you plan to do to fix One Stop? It's horrible. I had to wait in line a total of 5 hours last year. I guess that's the One Stop is the program students use to do
enroll,
everything.
Enroll for classes and enroll for to understand what courses are required for you to complete a degree. We are actually in the midst of launching a new student information system. It'll likely be an investment of between $60 and $80 million. So we are planning to invest the issues in terms of speed or logging on have to do with bandwidth and the antiquated nature of that. So we're on it. We know what we need to do, and we're in the process of completely replacing that system.
So there's hope.
So it's already getting better. We're doing some small things, some Band-Aid fixes, for example, increasing bandwidth at peak use times. But we're going to completely replace the system so that it'll be state-of-the-art.
This question comes from Catherine. She says, how will UC and NKU grow and adapt your academic credentials to meet the changing needs of the American workforce?
Well, that will be a part of our strategic planning process, because clearly what we need to do is be a value added for the students who come. The vast majority of our students are coming to NKU with the aspiration to be prepared to get a good job in this modern economy. And so front and center in our strategic planning process will be identifying those programs that have the greatest possibility to improve the employment prospects of our students.
As you know, UC has had a cooperative education model for over a century. We have very tight links with about 6,000 companies globally. And so we're constantly in communication with those companies to see what is needed in terms of workforce development globally. But we also meet with heads of chambers of commerce to look at data and try to tailor our enrollment process through a 5-year enrollment planning group so that what comes out of at graduation is influenced by workplace needs.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
If you want to add, go
ahead. I was just going to say those experiential learning opportunities, things like co-ops, internships, and externships is an area that we have some strength, but it's certainly an area that we want to improve, because that really then will strengthen that relationship between employers and the students who are getting their education. And so I think what UC has done is something that we want to evaluate and see if we can even expand those opportunities for our students as well.
As you may know, the state government has really turned to UC to share our cooperative education model across the state. We just got a significant grant, and we intend to partner with NKU, but also the universities around the state of Ohio to share our experience in our ties with industry.
This question is for you, President Ono, and this person wants to know if you support the streetcar route coming to Uptown and campus.
I think it'd be fantastic. The better we can articulate our link with downtown Cincinnati, the better for our students and also for the citizens of Cincinnati.
And I don't know if there's any plans to bring a streetcar.
No, I don't think we're going to bring a streetcar up to Highland Heights, but we do have a very strong relationship with Tank over in Northern Kentucky. Our students, faculty, and staff can ride Tank for free, and we're looking to enhance that relationship because we think public transportation is very important for our students, very important for their ability to get to the campus in a very affordable way.
You both talk a lot about the strengths and the really good things that you have going on. If you had to identify a weakness at each university, what is it, and what do you think that should be done about it?
Well, in Gary's first question, embedded in that question about athletics, was an observation about our graduation rates. We need to improve the graduation rates of our first-time, full-time freshmen. Now, that graduation rate is somewhat misleading. It doesn't really reflect the academic quality. It doesn't reflect the fact that the number of degrees that we confer has been increasing steadily for the last 20 years, but it is an area where we need significant improvement. We are within about a month or two to finish a renovation of an existing building on campus, the University Center, and transforming that into a student center. It's a one-stop shop for all of the services, academic support services that we'll provide to our students. There are many other ways in which we're going to be investing in student success in order to improve those rates and improve the progression of all of our students to the completion of their degree.
Many people say that they learn as much in college outside of the classroom and the laboratory as they do in the classroom and the laboratory. And one of the things that has really been sort of a trademark of what I want to accomplish as president is to align the activities of what happened inside a classroom and a laboratory with co-curricular and extracurricular activities, internships and summer jobs. So that's really going to be a focus. I want the total undergraduate experience, the college student experience, also the graduate student experience, to be second to none. And that's going to require teamwork and collaboration between different parts of the university administration.
Now, you've both talked about funding and working harder because the methods of university funding have changed drastically and dramatically over the past couple of decades. Talk a little bit about what tuition costs and what really is being done to help students afford it, especially those perhaps that are, especially I think more at NKU perhaps than UC, but first person in their family to go to school.
That's right, and we have one of the challenges that that we face as an institution, and it's a challenge that many of our students face, is the cost of higher education. As a result, many of our students work. Some of our students are not only working, but they're full-time students. That presents a challenge for them in terms of being able to succeed in class because their attention is divided. I think one of the things that we want to look to, that I would like to explore further, is whether we can expand employment opportunities on campus, because then the students can get the resources to help pay tuition, but it also is reinforcing because then they're on campus and they become more fully invested in the entire university experience. So we will be, as part, again, a part of the strategic planning process, seeing what our current levels of funding for employment opportunities on campus, and seeing if there are ways to expand that, or also partner with the private sector to see if we can cooperate more fully in that regard, because it clearly is a problem for many of our students.
And you're talking about more than your typical work study job here.
That's correct.
So it's not the minimum wage, a couple hours a week.
No, that's correct. That's right.
Pizza bill.
That's right.
We're taking a dual-pronged approach to trying to make sure that our education is affordable. First, as you probably know, we have a pretty comprehensive scholarship program that extends from essentially a free ride all the way to partial scholarships. We're trying to very aggressively increase our scholarship pool for that purpose. That's our first prong. The second prong is that we are really looking at all of our operations very carefully, looking for efficiencies and redundancies, to eliminate redundancies, so that we cut costs down to keep the cost of education as level as possible.
This comes from Brian, who says, applause to both presidents for your investments in a regional innovation and startup culture through partnerships with entrepreneurial organizations. The question is, universities are great at attracting talent to the region and training that talent. How do we become great at keeping that talent in the region to drive regional growth?
Well, you know, I'm constantly having conversations with CEOs of companies in the region, also in the state, to try to figure out ways to create a pipeline. A very intentional pipeline where the employer talks to us about the sort of individual they want to graduate from the institution and retain in the region. We've spoken with the mayor and the governor about that. And so the mechanisms involve creating scholarship opportunities that are coming from the employers that want the graduates to stay in the region, to attract them, and then to place them in cooperative education experiential learning activities while they're a student. That makes them even more attractive for the employer that would want to employ them post-graduation. So we're trying to create really a pipeline from recruitment all the way to retention.
I guess I would say two things. One, the what we're doing in informatics, in our Center for Applied Informatics. We're working in collaboration with the business community to form a business accelerator, a technology accelerator called UpTech, and that has attracted entrepreneurs from around the country to bring their ideas here to Northern Kentucky and the Cincinnati region. We think if we can attract that kind of talent here, that we can show them that the quality of life and the quality of the business climate here is strong and that many of them will choose to stay. But if I just want to return back to something Santa and I talked about earlier. Creating this region as an education destination will then encourage other people to come here simply because this is an area where creative, intelligent, innovative people are gathering. So if we, through our educational institutions, can create that environment, it will then generate additional interest in terms of the innovative business community.
In addition to the pipeline concept that I mentioned, we're working very in partnership with the Cincinnati Chamber of Commerce to try to sell Cincinnati and the region to our students while they're students. I think that many of them don't realize everything that this region has to offer as a wonderful place to live and raise a family, as a cultural and arts destination. There's so much that we can do to introduce them to the city and encourage them to stay here after they graduate.
NKU, big change this week. I know we reported on it this morning and yesterday. You've gone tobacco-free.
That's correct. The Board of Regents yesterday passed a resolution directing me and my administration to develop a tobacco-free policy. That policy will take about at least 6 to 12 months to develop and then probably another 6 months to implement that policy. It's significant for us. We think it's a positive development. We pride ourselves at NKU of having a clean and safe campus. We also pride ourselves. We have a very strong wellness initiative. So we see this tobacco-free policy as an extension of the existing climate that exists on our campus.
And we should point out that tobacco-free, in case people aren't realizing it, is more than just not smoking. You won't allow chewing tobacco, anything like that on
campus. Correct. It's tobacco-free.
E-cigarettes, which I actually just learned about the other day. I didn't even know those existed, but those aren't allowed either. Apparently.
Well, the policy says tobacco-free, and it's articulated broadly. As a result of refining that policy, we'll make some of those specific judgments, but the goal is to be tobacco-free.
What's the status of UC's tobacco policy?
Well, as you know, we evaluated that in the previous year and a half or so. I should say that I think the majority of the students are in favor of a tobacco-free campus. I work through shared governance, and I meet with the Faculty Senate on a regular basis. I'm meeting with them today. They were not as enthusiastic about that, so we are still considering that our status. But at this point, we do not have unanimous support for that.
This comes from Mark, and it's for President Ono, who says, "My daughter dances for the reserve dance team and performed at your birthday party. And it's great to see your connection with the students at basketball and football games. The students really enjoy your visibility at events."
I absolutely love it. The reason why I am in higher education is because of the students. I think universities and colleges exist to educate students, and I believe in the total experience. And it really is a joy to interact with our outstanding students.
And I suspect that Santa will agree with me that the interaction with the students is almost always one of the best parts of the days and one of the best parts of the job.
Thank you both for being here. It went so quickly. We're out of time.
Thank you, Marianne.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to Impact Cincinnati and 91.7 WVXU. My guests today, UC President Santa Ono and NKU President Jeffrey Mearns. Archives of our programs are available on our website, wvxu.org. Producer for today's program was Pete Reitmeier.
Support comes from the Murray and Agnes Season Good Good Government Foundation, encouraging citizen participation in public affairs.